I'm going to turn to the passage which was read earlier on. I'm going to focus particularly around 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. As I mentioned this morning, what one thing Alistair did to help us in the transition phase is passed on some of the notes of the sermons in the morning and the evening, so we can continue with the series as we go through the next couple of weeks. So that's been very helpful for us. Chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Do not lose heart." And the verse that we're looking at, the verses we're looking at here this evening, start off with, "Therefore, we do not lose heart." So obviously, Paul was at a time where he was feeling a bit under the cosh, a bit pressed down. And it's very easy, it's very often, as Christians, we can feel like we're losing heart. We can feel that odds are against us. Possibly we've lost that inner confidence, not in ourselves, but in Christ. We've actually forgotten what we have in Christ. We've forgotten the greatness that we have in the salvation that we have in Christ. And it's easy to do that. It's easy for what we have in Christ to be blocked out by all the things that are in our lives. And this is what we're looking at this evening. Paul set out for us in the previous verses the glory of the new covenant, the freedom that we have in Christ, the fact that we're being transformed and changed into the image of Christ, that we can enjoy increasing glory as we become more and more like him every day. Every day as we're renewed and we're changed, we become more and more like him. He's talked to us through previous verses in these passages about the God of this age, the fact that the believers are blind, unbelievers are blind to the truths here. We looked at a couple of weeks ago, we looked at being in jars of clay, treasure in jars of clay. You know, there was this guy on the news just recently, he had his metal detector and he found this amazing treasure, didn't he? I can't remember the details, but you've seen it. You know, lots of amazing treasure, you know, fantastic treasure, but in jars of clay. And that's a little bit like us. Within us is an amazing treasure beyond all comprehension, and yet it's in an old jar of clay that's a bit sort of battered, maybe a bit chipped and cracked in places. But let's not forget the treasure that's within. Paul's spoken to us that maybe we're feeling hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned. So although it seems bad, it's not the end, it's not all that there is. And we've got this fantastic reassurance that one day we will be raised. If we're believers in Christ, one day we will be raised with him in Christ. So we're going to look this evening at some contrasts. And as we move into the first verse there, we don't lose heart. And the first contrast smacks us in the face. Though outwardly we are wasting, yet inwardly we are being renewed. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're the youngest person in the room or the oldest person in the room. There's no surprise here that we're all getting older. Some of us need glasses. Some of you don't. Some of us are losing our hair. Some of you aren't. Some of us are going grey before we lose it. Some of you aren't. I think I've got them all, haven't I? you know, our bodies are decaying. And it's a natural turn of events. Our body, I know it sounds fairly depressing in one sense, but from the moment we're born, our bodies start to decay. And it's not very pleasant to think about, but it's reality, it's life. We are decaying. What is seen, our bodies are being wasted away. And you know, the clock is ticking, as it were. And we can measure, and as we get maybe a little bit older, and it becomes a little bit more of a reality. And it maybe makes us think a bit more. But the reality of life is, the clock is ticking. That we are wasting away, that physically we are dying, as it were, but that's not the end, because inwardly we are being renewed, and that's what's important. You see, it wasn't meant to be like this. In the Garden of Eden, in those first days when Adam and Eve were created, they weren't created to die. Dying and our decaying body is a result of the sin that we're all involved in. We've all been born into. And originally, it wasn't God's intention that we die. But dying is a result of sin. And it all seems a little bit maybe hopeless. What is the point? You know, what is the point of life then? If all there is we're going to sort of get old, get a bit decrepit, have struggle along as we get there, and then at the end of the day, we die. And we're wasting away for what purpose? Well, if you are without Christ, then I have to say this evening, it is pretty hopeless, to be honest. And then if you are without Christ this evening, maybe if I say nothing else, or if you hear nothing else that I say this evening, maybe stop at that point. That without Christ, it is actually hopeless. Because it doesn't matter what you've got, because none of it is actually worth anything without Christ. But in Christ, this is not the end. It is not hopeless. We have a much truer, a much greater purpose. And that purpose is eternal. Even now. You see, some think that we have this life here, and this is the life we live on earth, and we do the best we can, and we get a bit older, and one day we'll die, and then when we die, we can go to heaven as believers, and then we can start our eternal life. Well, actually, if you're a believer, your eternal life, if you're a believer, has already started. It's just that part of that eternal life is here on earth in this frail body. But the development of your eternal spirit is ongoing now. It is happening now. It is, you're being changed now. You're being made more like Christ now. There'll be a glorious day when you are made given a new body. And that'll be fantastic. But even now, we're being made like Christ. So yeah, our eternal bodies, our eternal lives, if you're believers, have started. And that's something we need to keep in context and remember as we go through some of the things that we're looking at about wasting away and the hopelessness. So we are body and we are spirit. We are soul. Our bodies are dying, but our souls need to be growing and should be growing. And that's the reality of the Christian life. If we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, it tells us, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory," in other words, we have an understanding of salvation, "we're being transformed into his likeness." Even now, we're being transformed into his likeness. "With an ever-increasing glory which comes from the Spirit of God." Going a little bit further on, in chapter 4, verse 6, which was read to us earlier on, "For God who has said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts." So even now, God's love, God's light is shining in your hearts. The people that you meet, the places that you go, the people you talk to, the families that you live in, the communications that you have, God's light can be shining through your heart because he's working and renewing within you. So that makes the assumption then that growth and being renewed is the norm for a believer. And it is, or it should be. It should be. But it's not always the case. It's not always the case. And maybe some of you have been on the Christian road for a number of years might think, well, actually, it's not always the case. I'm not necessarily always growing and moving forward. Sometimes I feel like I'm actually going backwards. Sometimes I feel I'm not making any progress. Now, feelings, you've got to be careful with them to start with. But the thing is, growing doesn't happen by accident. Now, if you want to grow some plants in the garden, what's the first thing you've got to do? Anybody who's awake? Prepare the soil. Prepare the soil. So we've got to prepare the soil. We've got to remove some of maybe the weeds or the stones or the rocks or dig things over. Maybe put some compost into it, some fertilizers, some food, whatever it is that needs it. We can plant the seeds. We can water the seeds and it grows. It doesn't happen by accident. If there's any budding gardeners there and you've got a packet of seeds in your shed, right, I can tell you now, they won't grow in the packet in the shed. They've got to go from the shed into the ground somehow, and I've got to put some work into them. And this isn't a gardening lesson, but what I'm trying to say is, growth doesn't happen by accident. Growth doesn't happen sort of just by time passing by. Growth actually happens because effort and energy is put into something. And it's the same with your Christian walk. You see, if you don't put effort and energy into it, then don't be surprised if the growth is maybe very small, if not even insignificant. It needs effort and energy. And that effort and energy is seen by, well, coming along tonight. Fantastic, well done. You're here. That's brilliant. Maybe it's coming to church regularly, Sunday morning, Sunday evening if you can. Maybe it's making time to get along to a home group. Maybe it's making sure that you read the Bible on a regular basis. In a couple of weeks' time, I want to do a slot, probably on a Sunday morning, about different Bible study aids. Everything from really the youngest through to adults. Different types of Bible study aids. Do you use something to help you read and study the Bible? If not, then you know, make sure you come along in a few weeks' time. And there's a whole range of different ones that can help you study the Bible. Because if you don't read the Bible, don't be surprised if you're not growing. Because you need to put effort and energy into your Christian walk so that God can help you to grow. And by growing, we have that opportunity then, not just to grow for ourselves, but opportunity to encourage one another. You know, if you come along to a home group, well, yes, hopefully you get something, but the whole intention of home groups is that you give something. You can share some experience. You can share what you believe God is talking to you about. You can join in with the prayer time. You can encourage others. If you don't go to the home group, not only do you not grow yourself, but you miss out on opportunity to encourage others as well. It's the same on Sundays. If you maybe don't come along on a Sunday, you miss out on opportunity to grow for yourself, but you miss out on opportunity to encourage others. So it's two ways. It's our growing. So we're renewed day by day. Some of us fast, some of us in a slow way. But we're being changed slowly by Christ into something which is new. So that's our first contrast. Outwardly wasting, inly we're being renewed. Secondly then, let's look at this contrast of our troubles and the troubles that we have today versus eternity. Now, I think I'm pretty confident to speak to you this evening to say that everybody knows that sometimes the going gets tough. Unless there's anybody here who wants to contradict me, but I'm pretty confident that, you know, we've all experienced a time when the going gets tough. And it is. Sometimes it's health. Sometimes it's family. Sometimes it's relationships. Sometimes it's work or money. Whatever. But sometimes the going gets tough. And it's hard. And it's difficult. And sometimes those problems and difficulties seem to come maybe all surpassing. They sort of block the view so much you can't seem to get past it. It seems to be such a big boulder in the way. How can you get over around it? Through? It just becomes everything because the problems become all encompassing. Well, what Paul is telling us here is that our troubles, surprisingly, are momentary. They're small. They're minor. And they might not feel like it today, and you might be sat there saying, you haven't got a clue what I'm going through, Nigel. You've got no understanding what I'm facing tomorrow morning or this week. The problems that I've got to get through. But actually, the Bible tells us, not me, the Bible tells us that our troubles are momentary. Because in the whole scheme of eternity, they are. And that's what we need to keep in perspective. But the point as well is that the troubles are achieving something for us. They're actually doing something for us. They're changing us. It's this renewing. Again, God uses the troubles and the situations we face to change and to renew us. One thing we need to be careful about is going through a bad time is not like penance for your salvation. And we need to understand that. There are slightly way off people or religions that would say, well, you've got to go through a certain bad time because if you know Christ suffered and we have to have a certain element of suffering ourselves. Well, that's not right. That's wrong. We don't suffer because Christ suffered for us. It's a case of we have problems and we have difficulties, yes, but no amount of suffering will ever pay for the suffering that Christ did on our behalf. So suffering and having difficult times should not be seen as like a penance that you're doing for Christ, because that's not right. It's wrong. We don't go through troubles for no purpose, but we do go through them to help us to change and be renewed by Christ into our spirits becoming renewed. So momentary troubles, eternal glory, something we need to keep in mind and to keep in comparison. One of the things that I often find, and I was talking to Adele about this, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and something we're discussing as well, is when you're in a situation, a very difficult situation, it's very easy to ask, why is this happening? What is this happening for? Well, this wasn't mine, I read it somewhere, so I can't even claim it. But turn that around and say, well, don't ask, why is this happening? But ask, what is it God is teaching me through this situation? What is it that God wants me to learn through this situation? Because that's a much more valuable question than why is this happening to me? Because I don't know why it's happening to you, and you probably don't know why it's happened to you either. But what you can stop and think is, what is that God wants to teach me through this situation? So that was our second contrast. So as we move on then to this contrast of the unseen. So we continue to read, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving us an eternal glory that far outweighs all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So how can you fix your eyes on something you can't see? How do you fix your eyes on something you can't see? You see, without God's help and Spirit to help us to understand the Bible, it makes no sense. You can't fix your eyes on something you can't see. But that's only if you're thinking of the physical world. We need to think of the spiritual world. See, the Bible uses the word world to depict that which is opposed to God. And here, this is very much about the gospel. We're not of this world, we don't belong to this world, and we shouldn't fix our eyes on the things of this world, but on the things of the gospel, on the things of eternity. Just reading in Hebrews, there's that famous passage in Hebrews about faith in chapter 11. It reads from verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised, they only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. So there's people, the Abraham we're talking about here, the Enoch, and all these great people, they saw a promise in the future. They didn't have it there and then. They had a promise of something in the future, and it's on what was promised in the future that their faith was anchored. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. So again, we've been told here that our focus is on that heavenly country, on that heavenly and eternal city. Eternity, heaven, is what our eyes should be fixed upon, not on the visible world that is here. And we're told somewhere, I've missed my call, but I've missed a passage, I missed a section somewhere. But it talks about the living here as believers are as aliens living in a strange land. We're not living here as natural people of this land. We're living as aliens in a strange land. And that's something we need to get our understanding of, because if we build our lives assuming that this is our natural world, then we'll start to follow the belief system and the values of this world. But if we are an alien in this world, then it's never going to fit comfortably. And your Christian views and beliefs won't fit comfortably with the views and the beliefs of the natural world. There'll be odds with it. And that's the point here, is that we are aliens in a strange land. It's as if we're living in a tent, in a temporary dwelling, and not a fixed dwelling. And we need to make sure that our focus is on heaven, not on the temporary. So what we're told is to fix our eyes on the unseen, not what is seen. And sometimes we spend so much time focusing on what is the physical world, the earthly world. We behave as if we belong here. We live as if this is what it's all about. We behave just like the colleagues at work or the neighbours. We treat this world as if this is what it's about. We spend our time and our money as if this is what we're working towards. Well, it's not. It's not. You see, it goes back to what I was saying a few moments ago. Our eternal life starts now. Well, it started the day you believed. And that's the real life, and how you're dealing with the daily situation is how your eternal life is growing and developing. So, as a Christian, we're destined for future glory. And if that's the truth, and if that's the reality, if we've got our heads around that way, our future is fixed in heaven, how crazy to fix our hopes on the things of this world. And that's the thing about, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, the world, but what is unseen in heaven, our eternal life. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us fix our eyes upon Jesus. And it's as simple as that. What is of this world is of no value at all. To a certain extent, if you look around, wherever you are, maybe a little, you know, your quiet moment, have a look round. Have a look round this room. Everything you can see in this room will go. If you sit in your lounge, everything you see will go. If you sit in your car, everything you see will go. It is of no eternal value. It is what is not seen that will survive into eternity. So where's the scales? How's the balance? How's the unseen? How's the weight of the unseen versus the weight of what is seen? It's a simple, just a little simple test you can ask yourself when you are in different places. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, if you've not come to that point of believing in Christ as Saviour, then when we talk about fixing our eyes on Jesus, you need to do that for the first time. Because if you've not done that for the first time, your eternal life hasn't started. In heaven, certainly, you will have an eternal life, but the Bible tells us it won't be in heaven. It'll be in a place of eternal suffering. The Bible calls that hell. That's not me, that's the Bible. So if you're not a believer this evening, that's something that you need to sort out. You need to talk to somebody this evening about. It's important that you don't leave here without understanding what it means to know Christ as Saviour. So where does this leave us? Well, it leaves us understanding that what is seen is unimportant, that what is unseen needs to be grown and developed. It takes time and energy and effort and discipline to grow that inner spirit, to be changed by God, to be renewed daily through the troubles, momentary troubles that we experience. And when we see things from that perspective, then hopefully we're encouraged rather than discouraged when we go through hard times. Which brings us back to where we started. Don't lose heart, because actually there's a purpose in what is happening. There's a purpose in the difficulties that we might be going through. We're going to...